Janice Abel, Principal Analyst with ARC Advisory Group, with a podcast on the digital transformation in manufacturing. The digital transformation, Industry 4.0, and MES are top of the mindset in manufacturing today. I'm here today with Francisco Almada Lobo, Chief Executive Officer and Founder of Critical Manufacturing from Portugal. He will discuss the digital transformation, Industry 4.0, and MES in manufacturing. Critical Manufacturing has a more modern, innovative MES technology that is helping manufacturing and operations become more efficient today, particularly in the semiconductors, electronics, and medical device industries. Francisco, thank you for joining us today. I've gotten to know you over the past few years, and I'm really excited by your modern MES technology and how you are adopting the technology to the digital transformation. It's terrific to have you here today, and I'm excited to learn more about the MES digital transformation adoption in manufacturing. Could you tell the audience about yourself and a little about Critical Manufacturing and what they're doing?
Yeah, so thank you very much, Janice. Good to be here talking to you. So a little bit about myself. So I worked in the semiconductor industry for almost 15 years within the manufacturing type of environment. So I like to say that I was on the customer side of things in terms of MES. And, you know, when working there, I learned a few things. The first one is that the semiconductor industry is very interesting because it covers a lot of processes coming from the front end, the wafer processing processes, the back end with the assembly and testing, and then with the SMT, surface mount technology. And this covers a really a wide spectrum of manufacturing discrete processes. And also what's important is that it's almost impossible to run a manufacturing semiconductor facility these days without an MES. And so MES is led to the extreme. In terms of required flexibility, automation, compliance, and so on. And so this gave me and the other founders of the company the, you know, the right background for creating MES solutions for not just semiconductor, but all the other discrete segments, either in high tech or in areas where there's stringent compliance requirements. So this is one of the first things. The second one, which was important during background, is that most MES solutions, when we started around 2009, were quite old. Well, in fact, they still are. And you know, when factories today are trying to be prepared for smart manufacturing or Industry 4.0, you know, but they are trying to do this with MES systems that are, you know, 10, 15, or 20 years old, it's quite difficult. And there are several reasons for this. But I wanted to highlight, of course, the cost for these solutions, the high dependency that manufacturers have on them, and also, obviously, the conservative nature that manufacturers have. So, you know, I co-founded Critical Manufacturing in 2009. And, of course, the main idea was the following, is that, you know, we have a significant knowledge in manufacturing processes, a lot of experience in manufacturing execution systems, and we really knew how to develop software and software development and technologies in general. So why couldn't we bring, you know, a new way of thinking into the manufacturing industry? And at the time, it was really interesting because, you know, most people I talked to would say to me, you know, don't do that. It's a very mature market. There's 200 to 300 players in the industry. But still, you know, we felt the need to do so, because we saw that the manufacturing world was not really seizing the technologies, which in the meantime have been developed for many other industries. And so it was really, you know, the right thing to do. And of course, despite some early years, which were a little bit difficult, like in every startup, but things got really, really good starting from the second, third year onwards. And now we're at full steam and really disrupting the manufacturing world, I think. So, you know, what Critical Manufacturing is doing is, first of all, having the manufacturing execution system a little bit like, you know, I would call it like a Swiss knife of solutions, you know, to manage as perfectly as possible the manufacturing processes. And this is very important because the MES is a type of solution that needs to map the processes, physical or business processes. And we wanted to do this through configuration, because we felt that a lot of the requirements were being met in different solutions through IT solutions that required coding. And what we wanted to do was to empower the users, or empower what we call the key users, the process owners, the ones who need to control this. And, you know, it's really interesting when talking about Industry 4.0, it's all about rapid changes. And so this needs to be very easy, very flexible, and very intuitive to be done. And then on top of that, we thought holistically about the entire set of solutions for manufacturing, and on top of the manufacturing execution systems, which would act as kind of a backbone of the manufacturing software, then we'd apply on top of that different technologies, being them, you know, equipment integration, IoT technologies, augmented reality, artificial intelligence, machine learning, and on top of a very solid platform. So this is basically what we have done with our product, and this is how we are trying to differentiate ourselves within the industry.
Well, I know there's a wide range of technologies that are normally included in MES, and it depends on the application, the industries that you focus on. Could you describe some of the functionality that you have in the critical manufacturing technologies?
Yeah, it's really interesting because, you know, first of all, I believe that the MES, or the wider MOM space, manufacturing operations management, should cover the entire space of the shop floor processes. And of course, to do that, you need a solution that would encompass a wide range of functionality. You know, and so what we decided to do was, first of all, at the core, to have an object structure with a very large set of possible transactions. And this is how then we have the basic structure of a manufacturing, including products, materials, flows, steps, equipment, and so on. And it is at this level that we ensure routing, tracking, traceability, enforce rules, and get the first level of visibility. So this is like the core, right? And so to a certain extent, this core is what all the other functionality layers after that build upon. And then what we did was, we, after doing this core product, we decided to extend this functionality in a modular approach, but then with different modules aggregated in suites. So, you know, we have a quality suite, and the quality suite has a module called the exceptions management, for instance, to deal with production exceptions, with kappa or deviations. We have a statistical process control, sampling, documentation management. We have a module for dealing with design of experiments. And so all of these are, you know, makes the quality suite. Another one we have is the visibility and intelligence, which deals with Fab Life and Digital Twin. I'm sure you're going to talk about this later on. Alarm management, the typical data mining, data warehousing, augmented reality is also a module interesting in this area. There's another block which deals with what we call the operational efficiency, maintenance management, shop floor costing, labor management, management of warehouses, and so on. And there's a layer of integration, which deals with connectivity to equipment, to IoT, to ERP, PLM systems, and so on. So this is, you know, these are basically the things that we apply to almost every industry. And then, of course, on top of this, I almost forgot, is scheduling. Scheduling is very important, particularly in our case, which is very connected to the object model. And so it's updated in real time all the time. And then there's a few things that we do only for given industries. And so, you know, when talking about semiconductor, topics like mapping or recipe management are very important. For medical, we have validation packages. We have a module specifically built for medical, which is waiting spans. For electronics, material logistics, factory automation, you know, so there's different levels of things which then are specifically built for specific industries. But basically, you know, any of these industries can leverage any of these modules. And then, you know, our offering is like, you can start with just a core and with one or two modules, or we can start with the entire suite. It's up to you. And we offer a scalable model. So that's basically how we put the functionality available as part of our product to the market.
So you mentioned augmented reality and digital twins. What are you doing with augmented reality and digital twins, and what problems are you solving?
Yeah, that's very interesting because, you know, whenever people talk about augmented reality or digital twin, it sounds a little bit like science fiction. And so what we tried to do was, you know, first of all, in terms of augmented reality, we figured that there's a lot of technology already available and a lot of things that can be used already today, not in the future. And so what we basically do is using any type of device. It could be a mobile device, it could be a tablet, it could be, you know, some smart glasses of some kind, but it doesn't really even need to go to smart glasses. They're just any type of device that people may have available today. And if you run around the manufacturing shop floor facility, and as long as you can, with this device, identify an element in the shop floor, and an element can be anything really. It could be an equipment, it can be a material, it can be an operator, it can be anything. As long as the software is able to identify it, and again, the identification can be a different can come from different sources. It could be you can read just a barcode, a QR code. It can be a little bit more sophisticated and identify this by RFIDs or anything like that. But as soon as we identify the element, then we know the specific ID. And then we have a technology that we use in other areas, which is called build your own graphical user interface, build your own GUI. And what we do with this is that we allow a specific interface to be built by dragging and dropping different elements so that it can be built by anyone within some with some process knowledge and without requiring specific IT knowledge. And then coming back to AR, so when this element is identified, then on top of what the camera is showing, we superimpose the screen that has been specifically built for that context. And so, you know, as we run around with this device, and you can be pointing, for instance, at different equipment, and you can have different screens that you may configure. So we have cases in which, for instance, someone goes around the manufacturing facility, points at an equipment, and a screen pops up immediately saying, you know, what is the product being produced in that machine? When will this machine go on maintenance? You know, what's the yield of that machine and any other aspects like that? And you can do the same on a material, and you can see what material is this, when is the due date. If this is a medical device, for instance, it can show the entire device history records. And then not only you can read information, but these screens can have actions, can have buttons or anything else that the operator or technician or engineer wants to do. And based on that, they can immediately do some actions based on it. So what we're doing here is we're redefining the way, using available technology, we're redefining the way that people operate MES systems inside the shop floor. And so this is, you know, what we found really interesting is that this technology is available today, and it seemed to us that nobody was using it in this very pragmatic way. So instead of, you know, very sophisticated 3D models of maintenance and things like that, which are very cool in videos and so on, but then very difficult to realize, we applied a pragmatic layer on this and came to the conclusion, okay, this technology is available today, and here's what we can do with this. And the results are outstanding. People really love doing this because it saves them a lot of time just by giving them the right context at the right time based on what they have specified. So this is basically, you know, what we're doing with augmented reality. When it comes to digital twins is a little bit different. Because the digital twins for us, but first of all, digital twin for us is, in simple terms, is a digital replica of the physical model. And these digital twins are connected to their real world counterparts and are used to understand the states of the thing or of the system, respond to changes, improve operations, and so on. And there are several types of digital twin, which adds to the confusion when people talk about it. Interestingly, digital twin was introduced by a person named Michael Greaves in 2002, and this was introduced for the PLM business, although it was only called digital twin a little bit later, around 2010. But it started this within PLM, and so there's different types of digital twins, and we typically aggregate this in three main blocks, which are easier to understand. One is this PLM related. This is the product design. And so the product design, you have replicas of the products or the to-be products even, and you have the mechanical characteristics, and you can try to design the product. So that's the first area. The second one has to do with process planning or validation. So you're actually trying to simulate the future manufacturability of a given product. And then there's a third block, which is where we operate, which has to do with the execution itself, with the manufacturing execution. So what we have in the digital twin is digital twins for the manufacturing execution. So we have, again, a physical process, which is happening. We have a virtual computer-based replica, and then this interacts. So there's the physical world sends data into the virtual world, and the virtual world sends back, you know, information to the physical one, instructions, automation, etc. So in reality, what you have is you have this 3D replica about the entire shop floor. You have different interactions. You have different visibility in real time about anything that you're seeing. And at the same time, you can interact from this. And so this is how our interpretation of the digital twin and how we operate with it.
So what are some of the benefits or value that manufacturers are getting from using critical manufacturers technology overall? What are you seeing?
Well, it's a very interesting question. I think we see in general a lot of benefits, but I think the most important benefit comes from the fact that they are starting a manufacturing digital transformation, as we call it today, projects, because they, you know, they have to just in this organization phase, and that's a case which was incredibly interesting. So we're dealing with a very large semiconductor manufacturing facility in US that has been doing business for some decades, and just one of the things which was interesting is that we typically ask them for, you know, how did they see the benefits of the software once it's run, and how do they compare KPIs that they had before in terms of, you know, resource utilization, yield, cycle time, reject rates, these kind of things. But interestingly, in this case, they just by organizing the information that they would need simply to feed an MES system, they immediately reported benefits. And so this was so interesting just by the fact that, you know, you have to think in a digital way of organizing your shop floor, you are immediately getting benefits. And you're getting benefits, again, with our software or with any other software, just by, you know, how you organize the data and how all of a sudden you get a better view and a better organization of your existing data and of your existing processes. Then, of course, once you get into the software, you know, the way you deal with this, and you can start having immediate savings in different levels of activity. So there's functions which would take a lot of time because people were collecting data by hand, because people were using Excel sheets to store information, and all of these things start being done automatically. So that's kind of a first labor-related benefit, which is immediately there. Then there are others which take a little bit more time to realize and are a little bit more sophisticated, like, for instance, applying online statistical process control is a typical example, in which just by the fact that you can see how the main process parameters are being controlled, and you can act when there's some level of deviation before any of these indicators is out of spec, you know, you can immediately control the process. And by doing that, you are automatically improving your yield and decreasing your reject rates. When it comes to automation, of course, you deal with things that not only labor costs, but also cycle times, because things are done faster and with less errors. And so there's a number of things that can be done with it. But again, I would like to emphasize again the very interesting case that the sometimes just by the fact that the companies are willing to do an MES project and just by the original organization and categorization of data and processes, they can immediately see benefits just by doing that. So it was really interesting.
So what would you say are some of critical manufacturing's key differentiators for the digital transformation in manufacturing? And where do you see the future of MES technology?
Well, when it comes to the differentiators, you know, it's we try to build the technology in a way that the solutions would be incredibly flexible, and I think this was the main point. So we decided to build something which would have a sufficient functional coverage, a wide functional coverage, but then with a level of configuration which would allow a very extreme flexibility. And the reason is very interesting. And if you merge now this with the Industry 4.0 that everyone talks about, you know, one of the things that needs to be done all the time is a continuous improvement programs on everything related to processes in the manufacturing floor. And so the most important thing is that, first of all, you get data that comes from the MES or from IoT technologies or something like that. The most important is to have them relevant and sufficiently real time. Then we run, you know, process improvement. We run improvement programs, and after that, the improvement program comes to conclusions of what needs to be done, and we enforce these new rules back into MES. So this is something like how the MES interacts with a continuous improvement program. Now, what happens with Industry 4.0 is that Industry 4.0 requires this to run at unprecedented speed. So this needs to happen incredibly fast. Because if it doesn't run this fast, then you're losing opportunities. Because what happens in Industry 4.0 is that the lot sizes and the batch will be each time smaller. There's going to be a lot of product changes, and there's a time window for reaction for creating these new products and for ramping up new products. And so this needs to happen very, very, very fast. And so in essence, the way how we get data out, the level of visibility and insights that you get out of the data, and then how fast you change the processes once the process improvement program gets to the results, it's tremendously important. It's what will differentiate the companies that will succeed in industry for their own environment from the ones that will not. Is how fast can you react to those, and the software tools that you have for that are really important. And so flexibility is possibly, and flexibility associated with the empowerment of the key users is, I think, the main differentiator. And then, you know, of course, with the functional coverage plus with the extensibility, and this is something which is important, that if no software can ever do 100%, meet 100% of the requirements that customer might have. You know, every MES does its best to enlarge as much as possible the coverage, the native coverage, the off-the-shelf coverage. But then what's important is that when it doesn't, we need to have very good extensibility mechanisms. Sometimes are called customization, but these extensibility mechanisms need to be thought in a way that can be easily done, that will not stop, will not prevent a future evolution of the products, will not make every future upgrade something which is very troublesome. And so the extensibility is also a very important aspect. And again, because we built this in new technologies, it was a little bit easier to do compared to if you have technology which is 10 or 15 years old. And then finally, the last differentiator, I think, it's the user experience. So, you know, we've built things in a way, and before going there, it's really interesting that what we've done there was something which was completely new to the manufacturing world, but was not new in general into the other industries and compared to what some other industries were doing. What we did was we brought, you know, the easiness of dealing with software applications, the way that they were being dealt with in the consumer world. And we brought this easiness and this user experience into the manufacturing world. And this was a clear differentiator because people were used to, you know, old systems with fixed forms, with buttons and so on. And all of a sudden they have something which is very good looking, with lots of charts, with lots of 3D models, with, you know, very intuitive graphic user interfaces. And I think this is still one of the main advantages of our solution still today.
Okay, well, thank you, Francisco. I think that's about all we have time for today. And thank you for listening, everybody. That was Francisco Almada-Lobo, the CEO and founder of Critical Manufacturing, with a fascinating discussion on the future of smart manufacturing, digital transformation, Industry 4.0, and MES. If you get a chance to hear this, you will agree that MES is a technology for the future and that critical manufacturing technology is on an innovative technology path. For more information on this topic, on the digital transformation at critical manufacturing, contact ARC Advisory Group at www.arcweb.com or Critical Manufacturing's website for more information. Thank you for your time, Francisco. It's always great to speak with you.
Thank you so much, Chase. It was a pleasure.